Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you. We're coming up on Christmas. It's just, about a week away. I just can't believe it. I know when I was a kid, you know, Christmas was just the most special day of the year, and I could hardly wait. And as it got closer, I could just feel the anticipation grow, and I was so excited about that morning. And of course, I had snooped and found out just about everything I was going to get for Christmas, and but still, on Christmas morning, I could barely sleep during the night, and I would get up at 3 or 4 and go in and see what was around the tree, and you know, then we would all wake up, 5:30 or 6 or something like that. There's just this big anticipation, this buildup of expectation, and you know, that's exactly the way it was. To some degree, for the Jewish people. I mean, they had this history where all throughout there were clues and prophets coming to them saying, yes. Hey, there's going to be a person. There's going to be this person that's going to show up, and this person is going to do incredible things for this nation and for you individually. And just one right after another, was prophesied, was foretold. Yes. And so, you know, the people of Israel lived in expectation of their Messiah, and they knew the Old Testament stories. For example, in Matthew chapter 2, it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So they see this star, they come, and they want to bow down and worship this newborn babe who is the king, who is Lord of Lords. And King Herod heard this, and he was disturbed. Wait a minute, there's somebody that's king?
Yeah.
Wait, that's
what?
Me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the
I'm
throne.
The guy.
Yeah, and so he got a little jealous of that and wanted to investigate. So he said when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Now, isn't that interesting? They knew, these chief priests and these religious leaders knew the Old Testament scriptures, and they knew about this Christ that was to come. And as I said, they were living in anticipation of his arrival. They weren't sure when that was going to come, but every generation, I'm sure, said, could this be our generation? Could this be the time when God sends the Messiah to us and we are restored as a people and as a kingdom and as a nation? So they lived in anticipation, and they knew the scriptures. And so they said to Herod, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Yeah. So they knew that prophecy. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that's where that comes from. Uh-huh. And so when King Herod asked these rulers or these religious leaders, "Tell me about this Christ. Where is he to be born?" They knew exactly where to go. They would have gone to the right scroll, the right section of the scroll, yes, and would said, "See, right here, the prophet Micah said Bethlehem." And so when we think about Jesus and the fact that he was born and the question, is he really the Messiah? You know, we have to examine several different layers of evidence, and one of those is what Lee Strobel calls the fingerprint test. Does he match the description of the Messiah? And the fact that he was born in Bethlehem certainly matches one of the key evidences of the prophecies concerning him. So there's a match as far as fingerprints are concerned. Jesus does fulfill that aspect of the Messiah messianic prophecies.
Yes.
So I think that gives us confidence that this babe born in a manger is truly who he claimed to be, and we can trust him as our very life and as our very being. And I think that's why this Christmas story is so vitally important, because it just brings together so much of the Old Testament. It just brings it into a final conclusion, and we see that, yes, it's all about Jesus from beginning to end. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome you as well. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, call right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. That is the number. We would love to hear from you. Plenty of open lines. But we're going to start today in Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with David, listening to us on our great affiliate, WFIA. Hi, David. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, Bob, how are you today?
We're doing well, thanks.
Well, thank you. I've been listening for a couple months. I came to the Lord through people to people back, I guess it might have been in the 90s, and it was just a tremendous blessing, and it was good to be able to hear your voice and Bob Davis. I missed hearing you all, and my question is, I feel like the older I get in the Lord, like the more sinful I see that I am, and it seems like I have no power to live this life, this Christian life. It's like I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. It seems like I'm just so weak and frail and just, you know, fall into sin more easily than I ever have, and there's seems to be no joy there. It just seems like, Lord, where are you at? You know, why aren't you growing me and maturing me? It's just like all I could see is just my wretchedness, you know, and it's very discouraging, and I get kind of despairing and depressed, and it's like I try to stay focused on Jesus and his finished work, but it seems like I'm more easily drawn to my own sinfulness and my own insufficiency instead of what Christ did, and I just feel like I don't have the power to be able to stay fixed on Jesus, and so I'm just kind of like in a quandary, because I want to walk in joy, but I'm finding that I'm more mindful of my sinfulness, which just makes me kind of live in a depressed state most of the time, you know.
Well, David, I can only, you know, speculate. You'll have to answer this yourself. But you know, when we're born again, it's a spiritual rebirth, and so we still have these same bodies, and these bodies are going to die. And within these bodies, as Paul writes in Romans 6 and 7, sin still lives in these members. So we're a brand new creation, but we're housed in a body of flesh, and that flesh still has fleshly desires, and those desires are never going to go away. Now that's a sad piece of news, but it's true. And I think when we recognize the truth of that, that's when we can really walk in the Spirit. But I think for so many people, they think as we grow in Christ, we should see those fleshly desires diminish and almost virtually go away, so that we never have those internal tugs at us to walk away from God and carry out the desires of the flesh like we used to before we knew Christ. But that's not the case. Those fleshly desires are there. And here's another truth about fleshly desires. Once a fleshly desire has been gratified, it's always going to want to be gratified in that same way moving forward. Hey, do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, so, David, those fleshly desires aren't going to go away. And maybe you were living in the expectation that they would, that as you grew in Christ, as you grew stronger in the Lord, that struggle against those fleshly desires would just go away altogether.
Well, I was hoping I would have more power to not yield to them, you know, and I don't find that happening, you know. I mean, I don't know how I can access the power to be able to walk in victory instead of defeat all the time, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, David, you know, it gets down to, you know, a question that I raised in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. How is the Christian life really supposed to work? How are we to walk in the Spirit and in so doing not gratify the desires of the flesh? We need some handles on how that looks in day-to-day life. So that's kind of what you're struggling with, and that's the question that you're really raising, is how am I supposed to live this Christian life? How is it supposed to really work? And in my life, I found that when I felt defeated and when I felt like I was giving in more to the desires of the flesh than walking in the Spirit, it's because I was trying to do things through human effort. That I was trying to beat sin through my own strength, my own power, my own intellect, my own wisdom. And I wasn't relying on the power and the wisdom of God. I wasn't trusting Him. I wasn't walking by faith or walking by the Spirit. And so when I finally recognized that human effort was what I was relying upon to defeat sin, and I let go of that, things started to change for me. I'm just asking you, is that, you know, could that be what's going on in your life? When sin knocks on the door, you're trying to defeat it through your own willpower, your own strength, and you're finding that you're not powerful enough to do so. That's what I discovered.
Yeah, that might very well be.
Well, David, what I would suggest, and I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, because I think in it you will identify with a lot of things that I struggled with, but hopefully you can identify with some of the solutions that I put forth in that book on how to walk in the Spirit. What does that look like, and how to live that out practically in day-to-day life?
Okay, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay, well, let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of that. But what I want is once you read through it, will you call me back and let's continue the discussion?
Bob, thank you very much.
Yeah, you hang on.
Yeah, there's one other aspect of this that you've got to be aware of, and that's Satan is a master when we do fall, right? We give in to some temptation. He's a master at suggesting things like, well, you should be better than this. And we start to play the I doubt it game with ourselves instead of thanking God that He forgave us, and we actually are living our lives from a position of strength, His strength. And I think reading Bob's book is going to help you shift your focus from your own failures to Jesus' success, His victories. And let that serve as a foundation for moving forward instead of trying to stop blowing it. You just don't even talk about that anymore. You admit what's true, and then you admit what's true. Jesus died for that sin. It's already taken care of. Now I can walk in the Spirit and see where we're going.
Well, David, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll get that book to you, and you know, I understand what you're going through,
yes,
and I look forward to carrying on this conversation later on. Okay, my friend, you hang on.
Thanks.
Boy, I think David really brings up critical question,
yeah,
and I would guarantee that there's 75, 80, maybe even 95% of believers that are struggling,
yes,
with that very issue. How is the Christian life really supposed to work? What is it's supposed to look like? We kind of know what it's supposed to look like, but how to get from what my life looks like to what it's supposed,
yes,
to look like, that's the gap. That's where we don't know how those two things connect. But it's just going back to the simple gospel. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So Jesus initiates. We respond in faith, and we're born again. We cross over from death to life. Now that we're alive, Jesus initiates by grace. We respond in faith, and we experience that abundant life. And that's a process. It just doesn't happen overnight. There's so much in our minds. There's so much in our attitudes. There's so much of that flesh that is still imprinted deeply within us. And when circumstances come our way, it's just natural to go down those paths again, those well-worn paths that we walk for so many years.
Yeah, they're almost instinctive.
That's exactly right. So it takes the Spirit of God to kind of till up that land and build new paths mm-hmm. for us. And that's this process. That's this process of hearing, believing, and living the good news of Jesus Christ. So I know there are others out there that are in his shoes. And if so, I encourage you to go to Simple Gospel, simplygrace.com. Take a look at that book. I think it will be a big help to you, will be a resource that God will use to connect you to the grace of God and show you how you can truly trust and tap into the power of God living inside of you.
Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. Call right now if you have a question or you have a comment for today's program. We would love to hear from you. We want to go to John listening to us in Brooklyn, New York on WMCA. Hi, John.
Hey, Bob. How are you? How's everything?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I seen you in King's College. We took pictures together.
Yes, we did.
And
boy, that was a great day.
I remember.
Yes.
You and
yes.
Richard.
Yes.
It was a phenomenal day. It was beautiful about talking about the grace of God. It was really something. And I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I didn't miss it. It's the truth. And I tell you, your program, Basic Gospels, Basic Jesus. And that brother who just called in, you know, I tell you, get into the Word of God. Get to look into Jesus. Get to as many services as you can. Let me tell you, you're not going to have time to think about the flesh. The flesh won't even get in. And that's the truth. Me going to the services and thinking about Jesus and focusing upon Him.
Well, I think you're right, John. I think so many of us focus on trying to clean up our flesh.
The only tool we have is behavior modification.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
We're trying to get sin out of our lives. And Jesus is the only one that can do that. So so God never calls us to get the sin out of our lives. He calls us to trust Jesus. That's His number one goal for us. If you were to sit down and talk with God face to face, and you would ask Him, what is the one thing, just the one thing that you want me to do with my life, He would say this, trust Jesus. And do you know how I know that? Because when He transfigured Jesus, there was this voice that came from heaven, and He said, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to Him. When He was baptized and when He came up out of that water and the dove descended upon Him, the same voice, this is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Trust Him. That's all God wants us to do. And as we trust Him, we're going to see incredible things happen. As we trust Him, we're going to see His life being lived out through us. You know, he's the vine, we're the branch, and we're going to see the life of that vine flowing through us, producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's just the way this Christian life works. So I think it's so vitally important for us to know that what God wants for us is simply this, to trust Jesus.
Just walk with Him on a daily basis every day.
Absolutely.
Focus on Him. Getting up in the morning, looking to Jesus, that God saved us through His Son. He saved us. And we have a fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. That alone, just that alone, puts you on a high. And you don't even think of your sins. You don't think of your downfalls. You don't think of your past. Because it can't even enter when you're focusing upon Him, His glory. And it just changes you moment by moment. And then you see it through yourself, and people see it. And it's just phenomenal, and there's nothing like it. you just keep on going glory to glory and just walking with the Lord, and he'll change you without you even knowing it. He's going to change you. Change me, and he's still changing me from one moment to the next. So I want to tell that brother to hang in there and never give up, because God didn't give up on us.
That's right, and he never will.
And that, amen to that. And this joy, this year, Christmas, it's not just December 25th. It's every day about Jesus. It's every day.
Yes, it
we
is.
We think of him every day, every moment, because when we pass on from this world into the next world, we're going to be with him forever. And this world has nothing to offer. Money, gold, silver, nothing. You just look to him, and he's going to fulfill every need. You, me, Richard, everyone out there. So Merry Christmas to everybody and a Happy New Year, and just hold Jesus up and just live for him. And I want to thank you guys. You guys are great.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So encouraging.
And yes, indeed. Oh. And boy, he's spot on, isn't he, Richard, as far as the message. And it is about Jesus. And, you know, we talk about that all the time. Before we start a broadcast, Bob Davis usually asks, well, so what are we going to talk about on today's broadcast?
Yeah.
And it's always the same thing, Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're obsessed with Jesus. Some people would say we're obsessed with Jesus, and we're going to plead guilty to that charge. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're obsessed with Jesus. He's the most fascinating figure that's ever walked this planet. He is the God of this universe. He opened his mouth. He spoke, and the world came into existence. He is the only one who has the power over death. It was kind of interesting. I grew up and wanted to be a medical doctor, and I had this horse farm outside of Lexington, Kentucky that I wanted to buy, and I thought medicine was going to be the route to get me to that particular farm and have horses and all of this. And I had this incredible life all mapped out. And then I got into college, and I thought, you know, life is just meaningless. I really went through an Ecclesiastes type of experience. You know, everything was stupid. It just had no purpose. It had no meaning. And I just lost all sense of what life could be. And I kind of left that dream that I had. But I was in science. I was getting a pre-med degree, and I was taking a lot of biology courses, taking a lot of chemistry courses, biochemistry, all of those wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And science today is huge. And we rely on science. We look to science for information. We're looking to science to find cures to diseases. We're looking to science to bring about new and better things to make our lives better. But within the realm of science, scientists at the upper echelons, they're looking for two things: the origin of life and the solution to death. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
But within the realm of science, you draw a circle around all the scientific knowledge that exists. You will not find within that circle the answer to either one of those questions. That has to come outside of our scope, of our understanding. And we see that throughout the New Testament. Anyone that was pricked in their hearts to see the condition of their spiritual death, they raised their hands and said, "How then can I be saved? What must I do?" They knew that the answer was outside of their scope of knowledge, their realm of knowledge. That's this gospel message. That's Jesus. He's the one who is the origin of life. He is the one that has power over death. And if we're going to discover those things, we're going to have to go outside of our realm of knowledge and into God's knowledge.
Yes.
And thank goodness that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus. So that's why we talk about him.
That's why.
And that's why we will continue to talk about him and share the good news, the hope that he brings to human hearts. And we want you to help us. We need you to help us, because there's lots of people out there struggling in the world trying to find answers to life. Help deliver those answers by getting the word of Jesus out through supporting Basic Gospel. You can do so by going to basicgospel.net. We'll see you tomorrow for a teaching edition of Basic Gospel.